Hey, everybody, and welcome to The Void, a show dedicated to filling the void between being an employee and becoming self-employed. Most people refer to starting your own company as taking the leap, as if they're blindly jumping off a cliff and into the unknown. This show is here to help you understand that it doesn't have to be that way. As always, if you like what you're hearing on the show, please do us a favor and help share The Void with somebody else who might be wanting to start their own company. We saw an opportunity to help others understand that self-employment is well within your reach, and just as our businesses have grown organically and by word of mouth, we want this show to grow the same way. So if you see somebody asking questions about starting their own service-based business, please do us a favor and send them a link to the show. I'm your host, Mitch Smedley, and with me as always is David Hilton.
Mitch.
David.
Man, I was kind of hoping we'd be on the boat today.
I know. It was a little windy.
Yeah, it was. When I texted you that today, I was like, hey, what do you think about doing the podcast on the boat? Like, it was 75, no wind,
yep.
Nice out. I had a few soda pops. I was like, man, let's do something fun today.
Yep.
Like, let's break the monotony of the boring,
we'll do it.
Same old. I know we will.
It's just got to be no wind.
Yeah, I know, man. It was like, well, it doesn't have to be no wind, but it can't be 30.
Yeah.
It can't be 30 mile an hour wind gusts.
Yeah. And for one, boating when it's windy is kind of, it's kind of annoying. Well,
first off, it sucks, and it's already cold out, and you can't record.
Right,
audio
recording a podcast
when
in the
it's
wind
that
is the
cold.
Hard part.
Like I was sitting on my porch with my wife, we're having some sodas, and like the wind's blowing so hard that the cushions won't stay on the deck. I'm like, right. Okay. So I text you. I was like, yeah, you sure? Is this gonna work? No.
Man. I drove on my way home from my meetings today. I drove over Jacomo.
Oh yeah, Whitecap.
And Jacomo's like all Whitecaps, which. Jacomo and Blue Springs face two different ways. So if Jacomo's got white caps on it, Blue Springs is a little bit sheltered. So.
Well, and Jacomo is one of those lakes. It's like Stockton in Longview. It runs north and south. It's windy all the time, no matter what, unless it's summer. And then it's dead calm and 200 degrees.
Yeah.
Like it just, like it's a weird lake. But Blue Springs is, like it's a little better, but it was going to suck today. Like it would have really sucked.
Ironically, the wind's supposed to die down here in an hour or two.
Yeah, and then a huge storm's coming in.
Well, maybe.
Again, I've been trying to fish for like 2 weeks. It's raining every freaking day.
I'm not ruling out the possibility that I might not be out on the boat after we get done with this podcast. We'll see.
Are we going to make Austin go and film another podcast for next week?
No.
Oh.
I'm going to go wakeboard and
wake surf. No fun. I want to see Austin out there trying to hold that camera steady with the two little mics we have, like clipped to your, life vest. That's what I want to see. Not when you're on the water, like in him trying to figure out how to do all of that and then edit 4 hours of us drinking and being on a boat.
Being on a boat.
That will be fun.
Be a fun day.
If he can somehow take 4 hours of debauchery and then get it into an hour podcast, I will be impressed.
Well, that's why I have so much respect for the guys that film like the Top Gear show. They'll go out to this like backwoods third world country and film for a week. And I'm like, they got to have hours of footage.
Yeah. How does the editor decide? Okay. What are we doing here?
Well, they have assistant editor. I mean, that's its own thing. I don't want to get all nerded out, but.
Okay.
Like, they have guys that specific.
And then he started anyway.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they have like assistant runt editors. They'll go in and they find the good clips. And then the actual editor is the one that they'll organize all the stuff.
Tries to piece it together.
But then the actual editor gets all everything's labeled and here's the good clips. And so they don't have to really go in and.
Oh, I don't want to be an assistant editor.
It almost sounds
as
if they have a process.
Yeah.
For how to produce large amounts of work.
There's a segue.
Efficiently.
I gave you a segue.
I can't decide how you were going to be today. Like we talked about this before the show. Like I can't tell if you're in suicidal murder mode. Or if you're
suicidal murder.
Yeah.
I'm killing somebody.
You murder everyone and then kill yourself. Or if you're just relaxed and calm, or if you're on edge, like Austin and I were talking, you just immediately picked up your phone. Like you didn't want to be part of the conversation. Like I can't decide where you're at today. Where's your head at?
I'm ultimately relaxed.
He has
ultimately
different
relaxed
at home where it's like which mood Mitch is in. And so one has alcohol in it. The next one has a
Xanax,
9 mil.
Valium.
Pre-rolls.
Pre-rolls.
One's got gummies. One's got pre-rolls.
One's got a gun in it.
Yeah. One's got a gun in it for just in case.
Yeah.
That's not good.
No.
Okay. So you're telling me you're relaxed today.
Yeah,
you're okay?
We're good.
You sure? All right.
We're golden.
Man, it was so nice today. Like other than the wind, I've just been ready for summer.
I spent all day driving around to meetings and crap, so.
Like meetings for work or meetings for pretend work? For playing business, as your wife says.
Yes, yes. As my wife would put it, I was playing business on a couple of them. Some of them I was setting up some work for tomorrow.
Yeah.
I wonder if that ever stops. I just imagine like Elon Musk sitting there and like his seventh wife is like, oh, you're just faking work, aren't you? As he's like, he like wakes up from like the floor and like Tesla, you know, like, oh, like at what point does that stop?
Dude, that's so good.
Did I just get compared to Elon Musk?
I'm just wondering like when it stops.
Or my wife got compared to his seventh wife.
I think your wife may have been compared to a crazy person. Maybe.
Could be.
I don't know. Like, he's right though. Like, at what point do...
Hey, I made like, $10 million this year.
This is the legitimate conversation that we've had before.
Yeah, it's called like, imposter syndrome.
Yeah. No, not, I don't mean for you. I meant for our spouses.
Like
even,
still.
Like even Janine, like yesterday, so I had some stuff I wanted to do, worked for a little bit, and then I was like, no, I'm not doing anything. She's like, oh, you're not going to work today? I was like, I already worked today.
Yeah.
She's like, what are you going to do? I was like, I'm going to do this, this, that, and that, blah, blah, blah. And she's like, well, like, aren't you supposed to be? I was like, no, I'm not. I'm done.
Yeah. She's gaslighting like,
I'm
you.
I'm done. Oh, yeah. She's 100% gaslighting me.
I'm doing this, isn't this? Oh, when do you have time for me? Did she do that to you?
No, she doesn't do that. I mean, but it's like, she's never said to me, are you pretending to play business today? Like,
when you like lead people, wife. And you don't even have to own a business for this. You could be a manager. When you lead people, if you start out each day with like 3 to 5 tasks, that if these tasks get done, the event moves forward.
Yeah.
Once those tasks are done, your day is done.
Yeah.
Sometimes those tasks are done by 10:30.
Yeah.
Sometimes those tasks are going to be like, have a meeting with this agency, you know, create a date to where we do this thing. You know, finalize the commitments on this plan or whatever the case may be, right?
100%, man.
It can't be like make 7 sales because you don't know if you're going to make 7 sales, but like have 7 conversations with prospects, right?
Yeah.
Like those things that are in your total control, if those things truly do move the event forward and you do your 3 to 5 things every day, you're done. Yeah. Sometimes you're done by 10:30. Other times it's 10:30 p.m.
Yeah.
before you get all of them done. That's sometimes right. You fail and you don't get them done, but that's how I measure my days now is I measure my days based on like, I wake up, I have a list of things that if I get these done today, this will be a success. And I attack those things.
If I don't, I'm working late.
Well,
tonight.
I mean, you kind of have
to, sometimes I bite off more than I can chew.
Well, you kind of have to have those because if you're an employee, you have someone else telling you, okay, you met this goal. But if you're on the top, you know, it's like, you kind of almost have to have that thing of like telling yourself. So then you kind of, you can transition from work into like personal life, you know, at some point.
Well, and that's why I said like, if you lead people, right? Yeah. If you are being led,
right? Yeah,
it's kind of hard for you to pick your 3 to 5 things because chances are your boss or your manager or somebody's picking those for you, right? They're telling you, you run these 4 calls today, you do these things and then you're good, right? You aren't in charge of picking your 3 to 5 things. But if you're a manager or a business owner, then you do. Mm-hmm. And otherwise, like if you don't have that, and it's a segue into our first topic. If you don't have that, you lose sight of where you're going. You lose sight of what the goal is. And then you're just working tirelessly into the night with no real finish line.
Yeah.
So
you never know if you finished or not because you never.
Right.
Yeah. It's funny. And we'll get in that. Did you watch my Tuesday testimonial today?
I did.
Yeah.
Your testy Tuesday?
My testy Tuesday. I did it on purpose, but it's weird that we're talking about that now. Like it fits.
Yeah.
It fits.
Yeah,
I couldn't tell if it was Testy Tuesday or Testimonial Tuesday. Wet Wednesday, dude. Your wife's in the room.
What do you want for Thursday? Well, it's like it used to be
Thirsty
Monday
Thursday. That's where the thirst trap pictures come out.
Yeah,
it used to be like Monday motivational. It's like a Jay just making up these like phrases as he goes.
And that's what's like. I just do what I want sometimes.
Well, as a business owner,
and yesterday was one of those days. You know what I did yesterday? Whatever I wanted.
Whatever.
Well, I mean, as a business owner, you can set your things too, but. Like people overlook too, like you have to be like things come up and it's like, while you not be like, may not be physically working on something. It's like, there's an opportunity of like something comes up, someone calls you.
Yeah.
So it's just like, not an anxiety, but it's not like business owners can just like, okay, I'm off now.
No,
I'm
you have to take your opportunities.
Right. So like yesterday, prime example.
Yesterday.
Like with Tradewinds, we stack the last week of the month in Tradewinds to where we don't have a lot of work. And that gives David and I some downtime with Tradewinds.
Yeah. Or make up calls.
Or make up calls or whatever. Right?
Do whatever.
And so yesterday, It's one of those days. We typically have Trade Winds coaching calls on Monday nights, but it's the last Monday of the month, so we don't have them. And so I'm like looking forward to an evening with my family. Right?
Yeah, I kicked off the whole day, man.
Yeah.
I did nothing.
So I get a call from my install crew that they need more gravel delivered to the job that they're at.
Oh, okay. And, what time is this?
Like 3:30 or 4.
Oh, late.
And
bummer.
So I'm like, crap, this sucks. Because I was looking forward to a night off and I knew today I was busy with meetings and my schedule was full today. So I'm not going to be able to get them gravel today. And so
you sack up,
I have to sack up and be like, well, I thought I was going to have a night to myself, but, or a night with my family, but instead I turned it into a plus.
I'd have been like,
I grabbed Mason, who's recently got his learner's permit.
Let's go, bro.
And I'm like, hey, guess what? You're going to learn how to drive a truck with a trailer.
Mm-hmm. Let's
and
go,
so
man.
We loaded up the dump trailer and we headed up north. It's 45 minutes away.
Oh, was it really?
Yeah. So we headed up north up and he got to drive a trailer 45 minutes on the highway. Then he got to drive it full, got to back it in, dump it and all that stuff. And so like we still found a way to make benefit from it. But yeah, that's like, those are the caveats that come with business ownership. Some days you get to kick off early and some days you're crew tells you at 3 o'clock that they need something. And now you're working till 6 just so your crew's not at a standstill.
Yeah.
You know,
I don't know how many times I would take Janine or Layla a lot. Like if it was a customer, whose furnace wasn't working or something, and it was late and I had her.
Yep.
I was like, Layla, let's go. Like it was only customers that I knew and trusted. Right. Yeah. And they were fine with, like, I would tell them, be like, hey, I can come out. I got my daughter. Is it cool? Oh, yeah, it's totally fine. Yeah. Dude, I have tons of pictures of her like holding the flashlight over the furnace, you know, like you just, those are things you have to do, right? Like you got to make it work.
It's just part of it.
It's just part of it. Yeah. Like those are the sacrifices we have to make early on to get to where we want to be later.
Right.
You know, it's just how it works. Like it's not always going to be, I love how when you talk to guys and they're like, oh, I'm going to start my own business. And they like, you can kind of feel them hinting at, well, I'm going to be able to control my schedule. I'm going to be able to work 8 to 5. It's going to be 9 to 5.
And then some days.
Yeah. But like, dude, you don't like, it's out of your control sometimes. And you have to be flexible and you have to be able to say, okay, I worked 9 to 5 yesterday. I worked noon to midnight the night before. You know what I'm doing today? I have no calls. I'm going to do what I want to do today.
Yeah.
I'm going to take the boat out and I'm going to go wake surfing. It's summertime. It's nice out. I'm going to take my advantage because I know that I'm going to have to work Thursday, Friday, and maybe Saturday.
Right.
Like, don't feel guilty because you took those times. Like, you're still putting in your time.
Yeah.
It's just, you got to take advantage when you can.
Yeah. They don't tell you when you start a business that, like, you do get a choice. You do get freedom, right? You get to choose which of the 80 hours each week you work when you start a business.
That's a good way to say it. Yeah. So, you get to choose the 80.
Yeah.
But it's
you still got to work the 80.
Yeah. You still got to work the 60 to 80, but it's which one of those times do you want to work?
Do you want a couple of those hours to be on a Sunday and a Saturday, or do you want to sock them all in Monday through Friday?
Yeah. And it's interesting too, because like, you know, as you get on in age and you've been doing it 10 years, 12 years, 15 years, like those numbers go down. Like when you put processes in place to, okay, instead of it being 80, I've got myself down to 60. Instead of 60, I've got myself down to 40.
Yeah.
Like, and then people will feel guilty and have that imposter syndrome of, oh, I'm not killing myself like I was before. No, dude, you've already done the work.
Yeah.
Like you've already done the exercise to get to where you are now. Take that time.
Yeah.
Like you earned that time. What are you doing?
Yeah.
Like I hear that a lot from the guy. I shouldn't say I hear that a lot from the guys at TradeWinds, but you can kind of feel it in their voice when they say, well, I don't know if I should be doing this. I don't know if I should be doing that. It's like, dude,
if you've made
your P's and Q's, like, let's go, man. Come on.
You see it a ton on the individual repair level. A guy with 20 years of experience can pull this repair off in 2 hours, and a guy that's new takes 4 hours to do the same repair.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean the guy with 20 years of experience that does it in 2 hours should charge less. He should charge the exact same amount.
Yeah.
He's earned the extra time, right?
That's right.
So he's put in his dues and he's now worth the full price, even though he's not going to get it done in half the time.
Yeah. And we hear that a lot from the guys too.
He shouldn't take a pay cut because he's applied his experience.
It's the one man shop syndrome.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm a one man shop. I don't have that much overhead. I shouldn't be charging as much.
Bullshit.
What do you mean? You're telling me that you shouldn't charge the same that a big company is sending out some 18-year-old kid with no experiences charging?
Hey, if you like what you're hearing on The Void and you want even more info, we just started a mentorship program specifically for trades professionals to start their business or to get their business to an incredibly healthy position. So if you'd like more info, click on the link in the description of this show.
What do you mean you shouldn't be charging the same? No, you should probably be charging more.
Right.
Like, come
realistically.
On. Realistically. Yeah, realistically, you're right. Like, if you're charging on experience, then yes, you should be charging more.
Right.
But you should be at least getting the same that everyone else is charging.
Right.
It's that classic fast food thing where it's like you have one great day and you get things on like extra quick. And it's like, great. Like,
yeah,
I don't expect that from you every day now. And you get paid the same.
Yeah.
Like when I used to work at Quick Trip and McDonald's and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So it's like, there's that level of like, I don't want to like rock it too much because they're going to expect me to get dishes done in 10 minutes every day.
I don't want to get too good at my job.
Yeah, that's right.
There's a viral video out there about a guy who is having like his annual meeting with HR, and he obviously works at some big giant corporate company. And he flat out, like, this is like a recorded Zoom call.
This is like not a skit. It's a real thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he flat out calls out HR. And they were like, he basically puts in his resignation in his annual review. And
was it just the drawing of a middle finger?
Or? No, like he basically uses the same psychology HR does. Like, you know, oh, we're downsizing, so everyone's going to need to pick up a little bit of extra workload.
Oh, it's PC. It's super PC.
So he's like, okay, so we've downsized and everybody's, you know, shed their workload and shared it around. So my workload has increased. My pay has not. And now you're offering me like a marginal 3% pay raise, even though inflation is significantly higher than that, and you've added on the workload.
I love it.
And then HR talks about like, you know, we've noticed you've not been contributing as much as you used to and all of that. And he's like, yeah, because I've learned that if I contribute more, it just means you expect more of me without paying me anymore. And so therefore, I'm not going to contribute anymore. If you're going to pay me like an average employee, I'm going to work like one.
Yeah.
And that's just how he leaves it.
And then the drawing of the finger on the resume.
And it just compounds too. Like you get off a 10-hour shift and you go pick up groceries that you can't afford and you go home to a house you can't pay rent at.
Because
then they're like,
we're not going to get into all that, but that's a very correct statement.
Yeah.
So topic one.
I would say not to drag on. That was a good intro though.
Yeah.
It was okay.
Topic one for this show is you're never going to exceed your vision. So what that would mean, like if you go all the way back to like episode one of this show, episode one and two, we start talking about the vision for your company and about picturing what your company looks like in its completed form. A lot of people, myself included, start out with a vision that is way too small. And so, you know, I'm just going to be real. Most people that start their own business in the trades, they think that I'm going to be a one-man shop, and as long as I can make enough or more money than I was when I was working for somebody else, that is success. Well, that's fairly easy to do. And so they get to that level, and then they, you know, 18 months, 2 years, 3 years later, now they hate their life because yes, they are making a little bit more money, but every customer calls them. They have to do all the books. They have to do all the work. They have to do all of the risk. They have to do all the repairs. They have to do everything. And they've shouldered 10 times more responsibility than they used to have for twice the pay.
Yes.
And so they get burned out real fast. And so your vision for the company, you will never, ever, like you'll rarely ever achieve your vision, but your vision is the driving force, right? Your vision is the finish line. And so most people never actually get their company to its completed form, right? Now, again, this is kind of that topic where it's like set your target really high. And that way, if you come up short, you're still successful. So if you don't achieve your vision, it's not like you failed. Right. If my vision was to one day have like $100 million plumbing company and I had a $40 million plumbing company. OK, yes, I didn't get the 100, but I ain't griping. You know what I mean? And so what I'm getting at is your vision is going to be what guides almost every decision you make. Right. If your vision was just to escape your boss and be a one-man show. You're going to do that. And then once you've achieved that, depression's going to creep in. Anxiety is going to creep in because you don't know, you're lost now. You don't know where to go. You've lost your guiding light because you're now holding it. Instead of it being the light at the end of the tunnel, you're now holding the lantern in the tunnel, and you can only see as far as that light will cast, right? You don't have a light to look forward to in the future.
It's so weird that you bring this up. Like, so what you're talking about is one-man show. For those that don't know, I was one-man show, right? Mm-hmm. But when I started I literally had no vision. My vision was, okay, I went to work at Lake City because I was burned out. I worked there one weekend. There was an explosion. Mm-hmm. A guy died. I didn't know what I was going to do. People had been calling me since I left my old company. And I was like, no. All of a sudden it was like, okay, I don't have anything else to do. Do I want to go to work for someone else?
Well, right.
No, that's a no also. Okay, here we go. I'm gonna take off and I'm gonna figure it out, right? So I'm trying to figure out, dude, all of those years this is so weird. Like, I'm gonna give some serious insight into myself. Until we started this podcast, I had no idea the lack of vision I had for that. Like, I had no idea. Mm-hmm. All I was doing was waking up every day, answering the phone,
going through the motions,
scheduling stuff, going through the motions, doing the work, collecting checks. Was I successful? Yes, it was fine. But if I had had a true vision of where I thought the company could be 15 years ago, there's no telling where I would be at now.
Right.
Like, I always, and part of this was like my own fault. I always knew I didn't want employees. So basically, I was stifling any vision that I could have had at that time.
Well, not any vision, but your vision was no employees. You were stifling any massive growth.
Yes, I was. That's a better way to say it. Yeah. And like, if I had just, what I'm really trying to say is, if I had sat down and thought, what is my vision? What is it that I really want this company to be? I may have thought, you know what? I need some employees.
Right.
But because I didn't even realize where I was at, where I was going, or what I really wanted, the lack of vision kept me pigeonholed in, you know, my own little world, regardless of what it could have been.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that I was unhappy. I'm not saying that I should have done something else, but I shouldn't say that either. I've told a lot of the guys in TradeWinds and on this podcast, like, I should have had employees. I should have grown that thing, but I didn't even have the realization that I should have been doing that until 10 years had passed.
Right.
And it was a problem.
Yeah.
And it was because of lack of vision.
Yep.
Well, like, that's why.
Sorry to catch up, but
it's okay.
It's kind of like, say if Mitch were to go out and his vision was like, I'm just going to start laying calls, but like doesn't set a limit. So then you set yourself up for, like, you never know if you've reached anything. Or if you're like, I'm only going to spend this much money on food. And you're like, rather than setting an amount, you just, so I'm going to spend as less as possible. Like, what? So yeah. You never know if you're setting yourself for never be happy, because it's like, if you don't set a goal and you work a ton, you've made a lot of money, but you never really feel like you've made it.
Because if you don't have a vision, it's hard to set goals. Mm-hmm. Like, right. It's hard to know, okay, this is going to be my goal for, I never had goals for the year. Like, okay, what am I going to, my goal was monthly. If I make $3,000 a month this month and pay my mortgage plus what I want to set aside, I'm good. Who cares?
Right.
Like, there was no long-term drive.
That's the classic guy that leaves his boss and just hopes to do a little bit better than he was when he was working for somebody.
Yeah. And that's the problem. You can't. How do I want to say this? I'm not saying you can't be successful if you do that, because you can, but you can't be.
I think you'll get there faster than you realize. And then, like you said, you'll just get depressed because it's actually not super hard, I guess.
If you don't have that real drive to get to the next level, you're not going to get to the next level.
Right.
You're just not.
Right.
You're just going to sit around and squander and tread water, and you're going to make money. And then 15 years is going to go by and you're going to be like, wow, I guess I got a 20% raise from when I was working for who I was working for.
Right.
Because I was had a lack of vision.
Right.
A lack of focus.
Yeah. And as a business, like if you're a one-man show, you don't own a business. You own a job. right? The government will tell you you own a business because the government gets to tax businesses. Like,
yeah.
Like, by all rights and all definitions, okay, yes, you own a business, right? But a business is something that produces income whether you're there or not.
Yeah.
A business is something that is a living, breathing thing that doesn't need your involvement today in order to work today. Now, that doesn't mean you can like ghost out and the thing just runs on its own. Like, businesses still need leadership. However, a business is like a big flywheel. And it's your job to put all of the effort in and all of the massive amounts of force that it takes to get the flywheel moving. And then you can take a day off and that flywheel will keep spinning while you're gone. Right?
Yeah.
People keep working. Calls keep coming in. People keep answering them.
Cylinders are still firing.
Right. Right.
Yeah. You're keep coasting. That flywheel moving. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, eventually you take enough time off without leadership and eventually things start slowing down.
Yeah.
Right?
The car dies.
But, essentially, if you picture business like a flywheel, well, your vision is going to tell you how big, how heavy, and how fast that flywheel is going to move.
Yeah, guys, if you're listening to this show and you don't know what a flywheel is, you shouldn't probably be listening to this show.
Yeah.
Like, like it's, let's be honest.
Yeah.
Like,
and so because you're never going to, like, it's a physical improbability that you're going to exceed your vision, right? Now, there are, we're not talking short-term goals, right? If your vision is $30,000 in sales this month, and you break that down to $7,500 a week,
yeah.
Okay? Well, maybe you do $6,000 in sales on Monday, okay? That you exceeded your daily goal, you still haven't surpassed your vision, right? And even if your vision is $30,000 in sales this month and you do 33, you still didn't really surpass your vision because your vision is ever going into the future and you have to repeat that over and over and over.
Yeah.
Right?
A vision is more long-term. Like, and to be completely honest, like, this is something that I struggle with all the time. Like, even when we started Tradewinds has been going a year now. Okay. Just over a year and a month, right? Mm-hmm. When we started Tradewinds, like, I thought of it as short-term goals. Like, even then,
yeah.
Like, after everything we had put in and all that stuff, I was like, okay, so if by August we have this many members, like, we've reached our goal. If in a year we have had this many, that's our goal. That's not a vision.
Right.
A vision would be, and this is just, I'm making this completely up, a vision would be, hey, in 5 years, a major company comes to us and says, we'll give you $10 million for Tradewinds. That's a vision.
Yeah.
Like, that's a dream. That's something that you're working towards. Now, I'm not saying that we would ever do that.
Yeah, yeah,
but,
yeah.
But, you know, like, it's one of those, like, we talk about mindset things all the time. This is one of those mindset things.
Yeah.
Like, even in when I was 100% on my own, it was like, okay, like I was saying, okay, this month it's going to be this. I've reached my goal this month.
Right.
In 6 months, where am I going to be? There was no vision. It was, I want $3,000 every month. If yeah. I make any more, hey, whoopity-doo. That's not a vision.
Instead of living day to day or week to week, you're living month to month.
Yeah, it's not a vision.
Right.
Like, and they were healthy goals, let's not be wrong, but they weren't vision for growth. And where do I want my family to be? Where do I want my employees to be? Where do I want, you know, what do I aspire to?
Yeah,
there was no vision.
And
without vision,
owner,
we're floundering.
Well, and as a business owner, your vision has to be enormous. Your vision has to be so big that all of your employees' visions fit inside your vision because they're your employees, right? So if your employees have a vision of one day owning their own home, your vision has to be so big that their role will eventually support an income that would allow them to own their own home. Right.
Yeah.
Your
That's
leadership
a good way to say it, man.
Yeah. Your leadership has to be so good that they are inspired to own their own home. Right. Your leadership has to be so good that they're inspired to become debt free or whatever the case may be. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You can't control your employees' visions, but your vision has to be so big that no matter what they aspire to be, it can happen under your watch, under your care.
Yeah.
And so again, visions, we're not talking timelines or anything else. We're not necessarily talking goals. We're just talking like, how big do you want your company to become? And so when I started my company, I got a little confused on the timeline of things. And I thought, man, we get to a 3-truck operation. That's going to be cool. Like a three truck operation can almost do $1 million a year. Like that'll be neat. Right.
Yeah.
And.
Are you tired of complex and high credit card processing fees? The Void Podcast has negotiated exclusive rates for the Void listeners. This program's tailored for trade businesses like yours. And if you're using House Call Pro, switch and you can expect to save $80 for every 10,000 you process per month. Don't let high processing fees drain your profits. Visit empowerpayments.com/the void or call us at 913-423-1265 now and unlock your savings.
Not like I had, my vision was bigger than that, but the main focus of my vision, all of the attention went to three trucks. Well, we did that in 12 months.
Yeah.
We were at three trucks in 12 months.
Yeah.
And so then I kind of floundered for a little while and I'm like, well, what do we do now?
Yeah. You're shedding water. You're like,
my goal is to get to three trucks. Yeah. Well, we did that.
I'm here. What do
like,
I do?
I thought it was going to take a couple of years.
You're looking around like you're just like, oh.
Yeah.
Well, it's like whenever you go through.
Where am I at?
You go through high school and college and you're used to going from grade to grade and you get to college and you graduate and you're just like,
yeah,
if there's no next step.
That's a good example because kids look around and they're like,
yeah,
what do like, I do next? Everyone's helped me get to here. Like my goal was to graduate college
right.
and have a job. And now I'm looking around like, mm-hmm. And what am I doing?
And the reason we're talking about this is because when you work for somebody else is helping guide your vision. Somebody else is setting goals for you. Somebody else is setting benchmarks. Somebody else is, you know, connecting your pay to certain levels of performance to where when you do this, you get paid this. Like they're helping shape your vision for what it is in that role. But when you start your own company, there's nobody preaching at you saying, I want to see you have another truck on the road by next month.
Yeah.
There's nobody preaching at you saying, I want to see net profits at this certain percentage.
Yeah.
There's nobody preaching at you saying, I need you to trim your costs down.
Or get out of bed on time.
Well, right.
And that's where I, like, I don't want to like change the subject or anything, but the vision is, especially after you take off and you're doing well, like your vision's going to change. Mm-hmm. It's just like real life. Like just as an example, Janine and I, you know, we're married 10 years. We're like, we're never having any kids. We're going to travel. And we did all that. And it was great and all the stuff. And then she was like, I want to have a kid.
Right.
I was like, what? No, you don't. And then one day she comes to me. She's like, hey, I'm pregnant. I was like, did you like what? What? Like those visions constantly change and constantly
should have snuck in a vasectomy.
I should have done a lot of shit. You know, I don't want to dive into like what, like, but that's real life mirrors business life in so many ways. Like, you know, you get moving, you're doing this, you're doing that, you're doing successful, you're doing this, you're doing that. Oh man, I didn't realize I got to have a building because
right.
we are running out of space. Like all of a sudden your vision shifts. Now my vision is five trucks working out of my house. Now it's seven trucks working out of a building.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like it is a fluid thing, but don't let fluidity like be an excuse to not get where you want to go. You
right.
know what I mean? Like
right.
when you get those small goals met and you're foreseeing your vision come true, like it's going to evolve and become bigger. Like that should be the focus is like, hey, Mitch, man, Mitch got four trucks. Where are we going to go? What are we going to do? This is what's going to happen. Blah, blah, blah. Man, I might need to get a shop. Right. I might need to do, you know what I mean? Are you okay over there?
I'm burning up.
You know why? Because you're taking TRT, man.
No. It's because it's 70 degrees in here.
I feel fantastic. But you get what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
It's one of those constantly evolving things that will, like if Mitch's vision was $20 million, obviously on the way to $20 million, there's going to be all these different steps to get there. And that evolution is going to change. The vision's going to change in his mind. Okay, I thought I could do 10 trucks in my house. I can't freaking do it. I've got to have a shop.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And so your vision is not necessarily the roadmap. Your vision is the inspiration for the roadmap, and the roadmap is ever changing.
And for the end goal. Yeah. That's a good way to say it too.
And so like if your vision is to have multiple locations, that's as far as your vision goes. The roadmap is going to choose like what location is the best second location and third location and all of that. The vision is multiple locations. The roadmap is different, right? How we get there is different than the vision. The vision is the guiding light that we're striving towards. But then we still have to figure out how to get there.
Yeah, but without the vision,
but without the vision, there is no roadmap. You're going blind.
Yeah, you're me.
Yeah,
working out of my garage, going, what am I doing? I'm making all this money. What am I going to do?
And the reason this is super important is because without vision, depression is a certainty. Now, when I say depression, I don't necessarily mean debilitating depression to the point of requiring medication. Depression also shows itself in somebody who is less than fulfilled. They're mildly depressed. They're not as happy as they could be.
Yeah, or lack of energy. Yeah. Like real depression, small depression when it seeps in is like, okay, lack of motivation. Like, yeah. I don't have the energy to take the next step today.
Yeah, I don't feel it today.
Yeah, I don't feel it. Like, and the more of the no feel it days you have, like that shit's starting to creep in.
Yeah, all have those. Even on our best weeks, we still have the no feel it days. But you string two or three no feel it days together, and now
over a course of 3 weeks,
we got a problem creeping in.
Monday and Tuesday. 3 weeks have gone by. Now it's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Right.
Like, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it happens. It happens.
That's what I was about to bring up too. It's like, because you can get in a loop too. Say if you have like one of those like just not feeling a days, it's easy to get in that loop of being like, well, why can't I be on top of things like someone else is?
Well, yeah. And so that's why
that's a good point, Austin.
That's why depression creeps in. Is nowadays social media is so rampant. Mm. There is no shortage of visibility of success somewhere.
Yeah, that's
right?
Why I hate social media.
And so when you're on one of those days where you're just not quite feeling it, and then you open up your social media and your buddy that owns a similar business just has some major celebration and he's seven states away, like it doesn't affect you.
Yeah.
But now you're like, why isn't that me?
Yeah.
Why aren't I there? Right.
Why am I not on my boat wake surfing on a Wednesday?
Right.
You know what I mean? I just bring that up because that's a real life thing. You know what I mean? It just is.
So one of the things that I've talked about with people in the past is like, take new cars, for example. If you have 100 friends on Facebook, one of them is buying a new car. Like you're seeing a new car.
I was
going to
say five.
Yeah. You're seeing a new car get purchased at least once a month.
Yeah.
If not more than that.
This is the young girl self-esteem thing.
It can be,
yeah,
right?
100%. And this
so
is why.
You have a large enough friends group on social media, and all of a sudden, it seems like everyone's always buying new cars. And so then you're like, man, why can't I buy a new car?
Yeah.
We don't realize, like, you just bought one a year and a half ago, or whatever the case may be, right? And so all of that kind of cycles together to create depression, because you're seeing enough success elsewhere where you're wondering why you're not seeing it personally. And so the vision for your company, that becomes your center point. That becomes your focus point. Like,
yeah, 100%,
great,
man.
Cool. My buddy Court over in Idaho is doing cool things with his business. I'm proud of him, but
yeah,
I'm still driving for my vision, right?
Yeah.
Now, his cool things that he's doing might alter my vision a little bit. It might inspire me to increase my vision. But as long as I have a vision for my company, then his success is not going to take away from my success. And when you see haters show up when people become successful, it's because they don't have vision in their own life. And so they're seeing everybody else's success as a threat to their own.
Well, they feel guilty. They feel inadequate. They feel like they're not, like, let's be honest, it's a self-esteem thing most of the time.
Yeah.
You know, they're like, oh, I'm not as good. I can't do as well. Like they don't have that mirror in front of them and they're saying, okay, I am doing just as good. I'm just not doing what that person is doing at this given time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like one of the meetings I had today was with a guy who owns he owns a family owned plumbing company that's been around since 1984.
Bye.
she's not leaving. She's just sitting on the couch.
Since 1984. Sorry.
So he's owned this family owned plumbing company since 1984. And, you know, he sees all these other companies that grow and sell and do all these things. And he's just kind of putzing along at his level. Right.
Yeah.
And he's happy. And like literally the conversation we had was, you know, you could look at all of that other stuff and get upset. You could look at all of that other stuff and be like, why aren't I where they are at? But then you have to look back and look at your own. And he has 16 employees, and actually he's got more. He's got 16 plumbers.
Yeah. Well,
And it's like, okay, you've got 16 plumbers. You've never missed payroll. You've watched a lot of your plumbers buy houses and buy cars for the first time. Like,
you're doing good.
Well, and when you what you said at the beginning was he was happy.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, everyone, if they could just shut that faucet off for like 2-3 days, a week, 2 weeks, and just focus internally on, okay, am I happy where I'm at right now? Like, we always let, like, when you brought up the social media thing, we always let all of these outside biased visions and opinions, like, shape. We let, I don't want to say shape, but that's the right word. We let it shape what our thoughts should be.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it's a false reality. It's not what's actually going on. Well, the guy was happy.
What happens is your own insecurities will make things awkward. And then you try to blame somebody else for making them awkward, right? Like,
yeah.
No matter what Austin says, there's nothing Austin can say to make me feel awkward. If anything Austin says makes me feel awkward, it's because it's playing off of an insecurity I have within me.
Right? Yeah, 100%.
Like, and it would be unfair for me to give that power to somebody like, you made me feel awkward, right? Now, unless the person's like a psychopath, right?
Well, there's this...
But what I'm saying like the stereotypical... Somebody says something in a conversation and everyone's like, awkward, right? No, it's only awkward because you allowed it to be awkward. Like, you just you just call that out for what it is. But the reason I'm saying that is because we let outside opinions, we let outside influence from social media, we let other people's success determine, like, are we successful or are we not? Because we're comparing ourselves to others.
Well, we let it determine our own mindset of where we're at.
Yeah.
Like, instead of, hey, I made $100,000 last year. Oh, this person made $140,000. That doesn't mean you're not successful.
Right. Like, and you know, just because so-and-so sold his business for $10 million, $12 million, $20 million, you have no clue what kind of debt he has. Like, that's it's the one weird thing with, like, selling businesses. Everyone loves to talk about the retail number that the business sold for. They never want to talk about how much money they put in their pocket after it was all said and done, right? In other words, if your business has crazy amounts of debt and you sell it for $10 million, but you had $8 million
in debt. Yeah, you had to pay five. Well, now you've made $5 million bucks. And now, hey, you got to pay $2 million in taxes. Okay, so you made $3 million.
And then you had to pay your brokerage fee and everything. Like,
but you go out there going, I sold my business for $10 million. I'm a bad motherfucker. Like... It's not real. And that's what I was saying earlier. Like, there's no, like, you see all that stuff on social media that's just, it's just not reality.
Well, too,
it's just a fake facade of everything that's great and nothing that's bad or mediocre, or let's be honest, sometimes tells the whole truth. You can't, like, there can be a one line. I sold my business for $10 million. That's one line.
Yeah.
What's the other paragraph say? Like, well, what else is in there?
Prime
that
example
dictates what is actually going on.
Prime example of something that's happened in this last week.
Are you talking about with you or just in general?
Yeah, with me.
Oh, I like where this is going.
We got approached about a week ago. We got approached by a major television network wanting to use some of our YouTube footage in the pilot episode of a new TV series. And
I saw that. Fantastic.
Yeah. And so
I think I put on there, I hope you get paid.
Yeah. You did.
But, hope you get paid, bro.
So
get it.
The general premise.
Buy me a dinner.
The general premise is they're wanting to pay us to use our YouTube footage.
Oh, like a one-time fee.
A one-time fee to use our YouTube footage in this pilot of a TV series. Now, pilot. It's a pilot.
Yeah. It's cool.
Sometimes pilots aren't even public.
No, they die.
Sometimes pilots just go to executives and observation panels and review panels.
Okay, we're going to show this to people in Texas, and that's it.
Right.
Depending on ratings, that's it.
Depending on ratings, we'll decide if we want to do more, right? You just never know.
Yeah.
However...
That's how I was duped to be on this podcast.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's so much structural complexity that goes into, like, traditional TV versus, like, YouTube and stuff.
Yeah. And so, anyway, they have to get our permission. They get our authorization. I sign all the contracts and all of that stuff.
Yeah.
And so then I share a photo on social media. And it basically just says, did you ever picture Smedley Plumbing being on a major TV network? I just signed an agreement that's going to put us in the pilot.
No, would be the answer.
Of a new TV series, right?
Yeah.
Now, that's all I said. And I wasn't alluding to anything. I wasn't baiting people on. I absolutely did not say we're going to be in a reality TV show about Smedley Plumbing, right?
Oh, is it a reality TV pilot?
It's not.
Okay.
It's not. But okay. All of the comps. So
is that where people went with it?
I posted that on social media. Everybody, you know, celebrated the heck out of it, which it's cool. Like, don't, I'm not trying to diminish that. It's freaking cool.
Yeah, it's cool, man.
But so many people's insecurities allowed their imagination to run with what was happening.
Yeah.
And so they're like, oh my gosh, a reality TV show. That's cool. And I'm like, no, I never said reality TV show. And they're like, holy cow, you're going to be in a whole series. I'm like, no, I very clearly said it, the pilot episode of a series.
Pilot?
Yeah.
Episode.
But
it's
but you,
like...
And then,
go ahead, I'm sorry.
And if their insecurities are playing off of that, their insecurities are also playing off of what they think we're getting paid for this, right? It's a pilot show. It's a show that might not ever make it anywhere. Yeah. Like,
would you get $100?
$500.
You're not getting 20 G's.
It's like, $500, right?
Where people like, oh, you're rich now?
Now, in reality, we've already put out the work for the YouTube video. Like, they've told me what YouTube video, so essentially the premise of this show is it's kind of like a modern, it sounds like it's going to be kind of a modern version of the Friends TV show. It's a whole bunch of people in their 30s. They're trying to figure out life and they're trying to figure out how to afford life and everything else. And so their water heater breaks and they're trying to fix it on their own because they can't afford a plumber. And so here's where our stuff comes in.
Okay, so your YouTube thing comes up.
They're watching our YouTube video to learn how to fix their own water heater.
Gotcha.
And so they're paying us $500 to be able to show our YouTube video on the network, right?
Which is cool, right?
It's cool. It's exposure cool. Yeah. If it ever goes anywhere, right?
It's not. It's that you put in the work to get the extra $500. That's great.
Yeah.
That's great.
It's $500 we didn't have before.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Who cares?
Right.
And in 5 years from now, no one's going to know the pilot, whether it made it or didn't, or like they're going to see you for 27 seconds, maybe one.
Yeah. And here's the thing. You never know where this may go into, right? It may be we're aired on this pilot and that's it.
Yeah.
Or maybe the public responds in a way where they're like, holy cow, he seems to really have made a connection with these people on YouTube. Wouldn't that be crazy if he met him in person? And now we're like making cameo appearances on the show. And I'm not like manifesting that or saying like, I hope that happens. I'm just saying you never know what's going to happen in the future. And so take what you can when it's there for the taking. Right.
Yeah.
And so like, I totally took it because it's not going to paint us in a bad light.
No, you do. This is the sell your business talk. Like if someone comes to one of our guys in Tradewinds and is like, hey, I'll give you $1.5 million for your business. You take the fucking money and you move.
Well, depending on the size of your business. Yeah.
I'm just saying if it's a good deal, you take the money.
Yeah.
Stop.
Yeah.
Like I love how all of these people that are so broke are martyrs right up until someone offers them a lot of money and they're like, oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're so right. I'd probably take that money too. Yeah.
Like, ironically,
like, stop talking trash. Like,
this really is the good at spending other people's money for them.
Yeah, they're really good at spending other people's. Like, this is the conversation we had. How long has this podcast been going on? Has it been two and a half?
2.5 years.
2.5 years.
2.25 years.
Like when we first started this podcast, I said this numerous times. Like, I always root for my friends. Mm-hmm. I always am like, hey, I hope you guys kill it. And I'm not just talking about Mitch. I'm talking about everybody. But I always told Mitch, I'm like, dude, you realize you're gonna like pass me up one day, right? Like you are. I think this is probably the year. Like, so for all of those people that are, I want to be better than this person, I want to be better than that person, I think I should be making more money than this person, and I will only be friends with people in this group. Stop.
Right.
Stop.
Yeah.
Root for your friends to be like it. And when you see, even when I see something on social media that's like just an acquaintance or someone that I only know through someone else, and they're like, hey, I did this and this was great. I'm like, dude, awesome.
Right.
Go get it. Do not be so insecure and so full of yourself and such a fucking jackass that you crucify people for being successful. Stop.
Right.
Like it's a waste of your effort, their effort, everyone's time. Like we've talked about it a million times. Haters are going to hate. Stop hating.
Yeah.
Like, just encourage people to do great. Stop.
So,
drives me insane, man.
Two of the meetings that I had today.
Snap people's fucking necks.
Two of the meetings beep, that I had beep, today. Beep.
Oh, fuck.
One of the meetings was about, one of the meetings I had no clue what it was about. this guy engages with me a ton on social. Like, here's why you get active on social media. This guy engages with a ton of my stuff on social media. I've never met the guy in person. Had really no clue what he does. He reaches out of the blue and says, hey, can I buy you coffee? And
all right, so you've newly started your company and you're trying to pinch pennies. However, you don't realize the biggest thing that's hurting you right now is not gathering all of your information into one spot and making it super efficient for you to use. So the answer is Field Pulse. It gets you off of paper tickets. It gets you off of all of that crazy office work at the end of the day and reconciling all that stuff. And it lets you organize everything with ease. It puts it all into the computer. It actually puts it all into the cloud. So it's not even putting it on your computer. And it lets you organize your customers. It lets you organize all of your service calls. Heck, it'll even route you to your service call. And the best part is, even after all of that, you'll probably realize about a 100% growth in your business just in the first year of using Field Pulse. So if you'd like to check out Field Pulse and see what great looks like, click on the link in the description of this show.
And
can you get me a coffee?
Chat for an hour.
You give me a coffee and a couple of beers or something. I'm doing nothing. I'm making no money over here.
And I had, well, I mean, it's a coffee, right? It's $3
coffee. I'll take the coffee.
I gave him a time. I looked at my schedule. I found a, you know, hour and a half window that I had. And so I gave him a time and I said, yeah, I can only do it this day and this time. And he's like, cool, I'll meet you there. And so he drove from Overland Park out here, 40-minute drive.
OP.
And I had no clue what this guy does. Turns out he's a business broker. He helps connect,
like a PE business broker?
No. So he helps connect people that are wanting to sell businesses to people that are wanting to buy businesses. He doesn't buy them.
Okay.
He's just a connector of people. Yeah. Right.
He's a PE broker, usually is what they kind of call them as.
But he doesn't even work with PE.
Okay. So if he doesn't have someone looking for you, he'll come to you first and pull from your side first and say, yeah, hey, I have this guy that may want to sell his business. Okay. Right. So he's 100% neutral.
And so like I, you know, because I didn't know what this guy does, I came into this conversation just totally open-minded, right? Like, I don't even know what's going to happen.
Always say yes, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I had the time, so I'm like, yeah, so I'll say yes.
Can I put this here? Yes.
Yeah. And so we get your mind out of the gutter.
Austin got it right away. It took you 30 seconds.
So we met and he's like, I quickly realized, okay, he's something in the business brokerage side of things and everything else. And so we were chatting and everything else and talking a little bit about like the finances of our business and kind of the nuts and bolts of everything and some of the other stuff I got going on and all that. And he's like, wow, you really got your ducks in a row. Like you really know
where you want to be.
You really know what your business is worth and all of that stuff. And he's like, man, this is cool. Cause a lot of the people I talk to, now keep in mind, I didn't go into this thinking I was talking to a business broker. I didn't know who I was talking to. And so he's like, a lot of the people I talk to that are wanting to sell a business, they're doing like 500 grand a year in revenue and they think they can sell their business for 2 million.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, not even close.
Moral of the story is Mitch will meet anyone, anywhere, anytime.
No.
If you're out there, call him.
I get solicited for these meetings all the time. The only reason I took this guy's
I get a bunch
is because
email.
He engages with a lot of my content. He's put forth the work and put forth the effort to earn my attention for a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay. This isn't some cold message out of the blue of like, hey, let's chat.
Yeah.
No, I don't even know who you are.
It's not a cold call.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've known of this guy for a while.
Yeah.
Right?
If you want to cold call Mitch, just message me. I'll give you his phone number.
So ironically, another of the meetings that I had today, he actually owns a plumbing company about 40, 45 miles from here.
What city? Give me a city. Come on, man. I'm
Harrisonville.
Dying over here. Okay.
And he does primarily new construction.
Okay.
And this is the company that's been in business since 1984.
Okay. And I know exactly who you're talking about. Gotcha.
We were...
I met him.
You know.
I was going to say, because you went with him.
Yeah.
I know just Delta. Because I've been around forever.
Yeah. So I met this guy just like 2 weeks ago at a career day where I was speaking on that panel.
Pretty nice guy.
Delta
yeah,
Woods.
Super nice guy.
Yeah. I've always heard he's a nice guy.
And so he hit me. He started following me on social media after that. We've exchanged some messages back and forth. And then he messages me last week and he's like, hey, I've looked you up and you're into a lot of shit. You do this plumbing thing. You do this Tradewinds thing. You do this podcast thing. You do this YouTube thing. He's like, can I pick your brain for a little while? And normally I don't like the whole pick your brain thing. However, he earned my trust.
He's been around a long time.
Well, he earned my trust and attention because he was taking time out of his day to go speak to students at a school just like I was.
Yeah.
He's not, obviously, he's not some guy that's going to use my time, right? So no. I never felt like my time would be wasted. And so I'm like, sure, this day is set aside for meetings. Like my days just kind of end up like that. And I just stack them all in one day.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, I've got time at this time. And so we went and met at a coffee shop and again, another coffee. And I mean, it's crazy how cheap.
I got to get in on these coffees.
It's crazy how cheap these meetings can happen. The first meeting.
Oh, well, not if you go to Starbucks.
Well, the first meeting, the guy spent $3.48 to talk with me for an hour. Right. He bought my coffee. The next meeting, I actually got there before he did. So I bought my own little sandwich.
You could at least get a fucking like a cupcake.
No, I got a $5 gift card to Starbucks and I still end up having to spend money to get a coffee.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you can't get a coffee. It's insanity.
You know, he and I were sharing some game back and he was like over, like he probably said it 10 times how much he appreciates how much I'm willing to share. And I'm like, dude, for one, you're not even really in my market.
No.
But for two, if we can't help each other win, then what the fuck good is, like, what's the point?
Yeah, why right? are we even having this meeting?
And I told him, like, I'm like, we've had two plumbers that are in my market in Tradewinds, and I'm giving them all the game I've got, and they're considered competition.
Dude, we have sold, I bet you we've sold 5 price books in Kansas City.
Yeah.
Like, if I had to go look, like, I bet it's 5.
And the
like,
logic,
I see him come up, I'm like, oh, okay.
The logic there is my MO, my personal vision is not my family vision, but me personally is I want to have the biggest impact on as many people as possible. Well,
and when you do that, as soon as you're I start successful
carving
regardless.
Out my own market,
yeah.
Now I'm limiting the impact I can have, right?
When you are successful and when you reach a ton of lives,
yep.
you will be like, it's inevitable. You will grow. You will be successful. You will be a pillar of your community. It doesn't matter.
Right.
Like, that's just where it is.
Yeah.
You know?
So we've kind of run.
We're not going into Google.
Yeah.
We're,
yeah,
like,
we had
that's
another topic queued
that's
up. We're just going to do
45 minutes, man.
We're just going to do that for next week. So this whole show is just going to be on the one topic of you're never going to exceed your own vision. So if you're questioning vision and stuff like that, go back and listen to episodes 1 and 2 of this show. And that's where we really talk about like how to build your vision for what you want it to be. And keep in mind, nobody knows your vision except you. So dream big. Aim big, aim high, because if you fall short, nobody's going to know you fell short except you.
Yep.
And it's going to lead to more success than you ever thought possible, right?
That was always my problem. I never dreamed big enough. I didn't know where I could be, where I could end up.
Yeah.
Like even with Tradewinds, even with this podcast, it's a thing that really, like you iterate it all the time, like vision, 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 vision. Where can I be at? Like, it's a real thing. If you're not dreaming big enough, like, all you're doing is holding yourself back. And it sounds so cliche and so stupid, but it's 100% true.
Yeah.
It's 100% true, man.
If you don't have vision, you don't have happiness. It's that simple.
Yeah.
And there are people that are like, well, I don't have vision and I'm happy. Well, your vision is to be simple. Like there are a lot of people out there where their vision is to just go in and put in their 8 hours a day and go home and spend the time with their family. Their vision is not enormous amounts of finances. Their vision is not anything else. Their vision is a very simple,
and they're happy.
Easy life. And they're happy.
And they're happy.
That is their vision. And therefore they're happy.
Yeah. And,
right?
And vision creates those goals. And when you reach goals and you have something to move towards, you are happy. You are satisfied. Like, we want to pretend like satisfied and happy aren't the same thing. They are the same thing.
Yeah.
When you are satisfied, you are happy.
Yep.
And if you're not doing something that makes you like, this is a marital thing. If you're not satisfied in your marriage, you're not happy.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's the same thing.
Right.
If you don't have goals and you can't become satisfied in your work, in the business that you own, you're just not going to be happy. It's right. It's a real thing, man.
Yeah.
It really is.
100%. Absolutely it is. So if
wrap
you guys
up,
have
buddy.
Questions on vision or anything else, feel free to email us. Several ways you can email us. askmitch@mitchsmedley.com. You can also email us at mitch@tradewindsconsulting.com. You can email dave@tradewindsconsulting.com. And that's Tradewinds, like winning in the trades.
W-I-N-S.
W-I-N-S.
There's no D in there. No D.
So no diggity, next week, no we're going to talk about Google and we're going to raise the question, is Google still king when it comes to marketing? So tune in next week for that. Until next week, guys, we will see you later.